As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We welcome in Kate Diaz from CEA, Connecticut Education Association, here in Brian and Company. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm good. You know, it is a beautiful day, so I'm going to take that.
All right. It's the best we can hope for. So I was looking. I couldn't tell from year to year. Is the job fair May 3rd this year?
I can't remember because I was just looking at my calendar for this. And I think it's the May 3rd date.
Okay.
Because we tried to push it a little later because our students were telling us that, you know, a little bit more time would be beneficial for us.
So I'm curious about the jobs, because we've been told this for, we've talked about shortages, you know, forever. But now I think, yeah. You know, I think a lot of ed budgets are getting squeezed. And you know, I think that headcount is in jeopardy now. I mean, what is your sense? I mean, generalizing, of course, every town and school district is different, but are there going to be pink slips this year? I mean, it sounds like the budget's tough.
Well, you're absolutely right that it's widely diversified based on sort of what the conditions and issues are in every municipality. The challenge is, though, often where there are shortages are not where they're interested in cutting. You know what I mean? Like, so for example, more than 500 of the openings are in the state are in special education. So that creates a situation where you wouldn't necessarily be seeking to cut those positions, right? You might be seeking to cut things that you think are more on the periphery. And that's where you get into trouble. Because if you're cutting things that, you know, you have people in, and you're still searching for people in vacancies, you have a really complex job market, right? You know, special education is one of those priority areas where we're typically, you know, we are looking always for special education teachers, and they can't financially cut those because those are often providing services that are required by law. So you have a really complex situation in terms of the marketplace.
So with a job fair, you know, whether people are listening or in school or want to switch schools or they have kids who want to be in education, do you need to be certified to go to a job fair? Like, how does it work? Like, what? Just explain how the whole thing works.
Well, we would encourage everybody who is closing in on being certified, right? You don't have to have your final paperwork. But oftentimes you can come to the job fair if you're in the last few months of a program and you anticipate being certified in the next few months. I would encourage anybody who's thinking even within the next year that they might be interested to get out there and make some contacts and meet people. That's what the purpose of a job fair is partially, you know, to get to know the different districts, get to know what they have to offer. You know, Connecticut's unique. We have school districts with 7 teachers, very tiny, tiny places, and school districts with 1,600. And the personalities of those districts are very, very different. So I often encourage people, go meet people, meet the different leadership, ask about their priorities in the districts, the things that they're looking to accomplish, and see if, you know, you're a good match. Because that's part of the goal here is making sure that when we get people in those districts, that they stay with them, they feel really good about that connection and that support.
We're talking with Kate Diaz from CEA here on Brian & Company. One last question on like a job fair. Like what is the pitch now for wanting to get people involved in education? It seems like it's a really there's a lot of headwinds, and there's been, you know, pay isn't what you want, I know, and the classroom environments can be challenging, although I think we're clawing back on the phones and so on and so forth. But what's your sales pitch to people who are figuring out what they want to do with their life?
Well, I would still argue that it's one of the best jobs in the world, because where else do you have the opportunity to really influence the ability for our country to succeed, right? Like, we're really trying to set a baseline of education and understanding that opens up opportunities for people. And we're really in the business of helping people be their best versions of themselves. And there's not a lot of jobs that you get to say that about. So I would argue that it's still, with all of the challenges, one of the best careers you could ever choose.
So what else is happening? Everything good with your interest at the Capitol and the budget, just on the macro? What's on your mind?
Well, on my mind is the fact that we're still not making the moves on funding the way I would like. We haven't seen a lot of activity around focusing on teacher salary, which, as you know, is a priority issue for us in terms of retention and attracting people to the profession. So we haven't really seen the championing of that cause the way that we would like. And we're really kind of getting concerned about what the federal narrative is doing to the state narrative in terms of being able to fund things properly, make sure that we have the resources we need to do what we need to do at the local level. And I think that's a concern that we're, you know, is going to be shared throughout this session. And we're going to probably take that down to the finish line of the legislative session in June, continuing to work with people that we think understand the importance of education, who understand and value the role that we play in the communities. And we're going to continue to kind of push that it's a proper investment for the state of Connecticut now and moving forward.
See, I believe that teacher salaries, I have sometimes trouble with some of the power that the teachers union wields when it comes to the overall picture, but that's a different conversation. I do believe teachers generally are underpaid, but it's going to be a tough sell to get more money in this environment. We don't know what Medicaid's going to be. And I mean, it feels like getting more money is unlikely. Is that the sense you're getting?
It certainly seems that the legislature is in some ways tightening up and getting concerned, but they're also in other places not. So it often feels a lot like who's sitting in the room is getting to be the decision maker about resources. And so, you know, we're trying to push our way into more rooms, because I think, you know, when we talk about services to the community, especially when things are challenging, public schools are the centerpiece of that. We're the one place that everybody's sort of mandated to show up and be present at. So we've become a clearinghouse for not just education, but for community-based services. And so when we talk about underfunding education, we're talking about underfunding access to, you know, proper public education, but also access for families to community support. You know, there's a lot of work that goes on in public schools in terms of connecting to housing resources, food resources, mental health resources. So we really, I don't think, can afford to pull back on public education of all things, given sort of how it becomes the center of a lot of access when we talk about trying times.
All right, Kate, good luck. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Brian.